What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. We are back with episode number 62. On today's episode, this is going to be all about the return of the UFC. Number 249, at long last, the return of both our show and the UFC. Before we dive into that, though, let's talk about our weed of the week, Paul.
Yeah. Yo.
Smoke weed every day.
Well, today we are smoking on this right here, to Paul, just hitting this pipe is, remind me again, Gelato 33.
So Gelato 33, my dude.
Ooh. Man, that tastes crazy. You know what's weird? This is the first, like, actual weed I've smoked in, like, 3 weeks. Because I've been using this vaporizer I bought.
Yeah.
So, wow, that tastes like ass. Wow. Yeah, I've been using this PAX 3 vaporizer I got right at the start of this big quarantine. Oh, man.
But then...
That does not
taste
well.
It's also in that PAX, so it also tastes good.
Yeah, I'm going to fire this PAX up, too, while we're hitting that. But we got this Gelato 33. Now, if you got some fine herb with you, you should fire that up, too. This Gelato is a Sunset Sherbet and Thin Mint Girl Scout Cookies cross. The 33 just means it's a specific phenotype, which we've talked about before on the show. Yeah. We got a couple other kinds of herb, too. We got some garlic cookies, which is Chem Dog, crossed with Girl Scout cookies. And we also have some wedding pie, which is wedding cake crossed with grape pie. All of these are indica leaning. The garlic cookies is a little 50-50-ish, but all are great weed. I'm going to keep hitting this vaporizer, though, I think, instead of that pipe, honestly.
Oh, and then we also do have some diamonds here.
Yeah, we were hitting those pre-show.
Nice, cool, some straw nana diamonds. Fuck your life up.
Yeah, diamonds, if you don't know, folks, if you haven't tried something like that, they're something you hit in the dab rig, and they're about 90 to 97% THC. Yeah.
Fuck your life up.
It's just little THCA crystals that convert to THC when you fire them up. And those are bad. Remember when we went to, what lab was that? EPC's lab.
Yeah.
And he was making terp diamonds there that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was pretty cool seeing that process. Finally getting to smoke some. And those hit hard, too.
I'm
pretty baked, man.
Yeah, me too.
That's a good thing, dude. So finally, man, everybody's stuck in quarantine. We haven't had the show on since March 4th. This is our first episode.
Yeah.
Pretty much the whole world. Yeah, all of us on lockdown.
Yeah.
I mean, we got audience that stretches. The last that I heard from WBUZ 95, which distributes our show on internet radio, of course, 57 different countries where we have listeners, so quite a few spread out, and everybody is doing the same thing.
Absolutely, yeah. The whole world's doing the same thing.
So we're pretty
stoked. Which is the right thing, though, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not complaining about it. This is what had to be done. But we're all excited, I think, to see the UFC come back.
Absolutely.
I know they tried, you know, what, a month ago or so, and it just wasn't the time yet. It got shut down. It's funny, Dana's still saying. He was on, did you see his AMA Reddit the other day? I think it was yesterday, the day before. He was saying that the reason that they shut it down was just out of respect to ESPN.
Yeah.
Because he was like, well, I respect ESPN, so I could have done it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Like the government didn't intervene there, buddy. Like, it's funny. I love Dana sometimes, and I hate him other times.
Yeah, he's
that was
idiot.
A bad idea, bro.
He's an idiot.
That was not a good plan, but now we're back. It's got a state sanction down there in Florida, so there's not much you can complain about.
Opening everything up.
Right. Whether you agree with, you know, what Florida's doing or not, I think the important thing as far as the UFC goes is there is a state sanction, and not like what they were trying to pull before, you know, on TBD. Indian land and
TBD.
Keep it on the hush.
Everyone jump on a plane. We'll see where we go. Yeah,
that was stupid, man. Dana should have given that up when Khabib couldn't make it and the Tony fight fell through. It should have been like, okay.
Yeah, I guess.
We tried. But now we're back, dude. We're back with the UFC 249, which is a hell of a card. And then not only do we get UFC 249, but that's going to be a week from... it's going to be this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah.
And then what, on Wednesday, we get a UFC fight night. And then on Saturday, we get another UFC fight night. So we got three events in 8 days.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fights, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of fights.
Well, and what they've done here, too, is with this 249 card, is they've took the best of all the fights that have been canceled and kind of put them all together on this big super card.
Exactly. We got a lot of dope fights. We're unfortunately not getting, of course, Khabib versus Tony Ferguson for the lightweight championship. I mean, whatever. Khabib can't get out.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to get out for a long time. Russia's dealing. They're hit hard right now.
Yeah.
They don't put a lot of info out in the press, but what they do put out is bad.
Yeah.
Khabib's out there making public, you know, PSA statements, kind of like Conor's been doing.
Oh, yeah.
Telling people to, in Russia, to like, look, stay inside. So,
yeah.
If he's doing that, you know, they're feeling it. So, the way that affects us, though, here is we're not going to see him in the UFC for a minute.
Yeah, no.
You know, probably not till earliest September, November.
Which makes sense for this to be for the interim title.
Yeah, I think this is, I mean, we're all bummed about that fight, but it's better. What, are we going to keep Tony on ice till then? We can't do that either, right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
And Tony's been, like, he's lost so many opportunities to fight already. He just wants to get in there.
So we got Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. Let's dive into these fights, right? That's the fight.
That's the B plan. Like, that's a hell of a fucking plan B.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at this fight like it's just another defense of Tony's interim title. It is for an interim title, but this one's supposedly a new one.
If Tony wins, he'll be the first ever two-time interim champion.
They should just stop with the silly stripping thing. I mean, or did they give Dustin Poirier a interim title with that as well?
Mm-hmm.
So there was Tony
when he beat Max. Remember, because it was going to be Max versus Tony for the interim title, and then
UFC hands these things
Dustin
out
jumped
like,
in
like candy, but whatever.
This one kind of makes sense, though.
This one makes sense to be an interim, and both these guys get paid more money since it's a title fight, which I support that all the way, so that's dope.
Yeah.
Let's just break some of these fights down before we go through the list. Is that cool with you?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to fire up this vaporizer here. You can keep hitting that pipe. I hope y'all are smoking something juicy, too. And let's talk about Gaethje versus Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is a better circumstance than it was back last month because it's not going to be as short notice for Justin. He was jumping in on, like, 10 days notice. He was given an interview saying he's good for 18 minutes in a five-round fight.
Yeah, he was like, 18 minutes.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
That's, you know, so I think this is better.
Absolutely.
I think the circumstances are going to be better. There's going to be a little less stress. These guys know where they're fighting now.
Yeah.
So they can kind of focus on it.
And they've known for a minute.
And then get some kind of camp in. Nobody can do a regular camp right now. But they're getting something put in, you know.
I beg to differ, but yeah.
Well, I mean, they might be doing something behind closed doors, but it's not going to be like a regular
camp. I don't think it says behind closed doors, people think, man. Like, honestly, for every single, like, fighter who's on this card, I've seen posted just straight up in their normal gyms with two or three training partners doing what they'd normally do in a camp, but with just the doors closed to the public.
Well, a lot of guys train. I mean, like Jackson Wink, they train all together as a gym. That's what I mean. You know,
yeah,
like,
I got
you. Prefer that. Like, you got fighters that are saying they won't fight because they can't get a good camp in. Like, Aljo's come out and said that.
But
a few others whose name is escaping me right now. I was just reading one again this morning. They're just going to wait. Stipe is, of course, waiting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the unfortunate reality of it is, though, is waiting is something that is your choice, but there's possibilities of chances that you might just get passed on when it comes to, like, championship opportunities.
Oh, yeah, you can't complain about that either. I mean,
you know what I mean?
I don't think these guys should be throwing any shade for waiting, and they shouldn't
like
complain if they get
passed on. If we're being real here, the co-main event could be Aljamain Sterling instead of Dominic Cruz.
Oh, he said he turned it down. He said he's not going to do that shit on short
exactly.
notice. Exactly. That's fine. I think it's smart. I think it's smart because you fuck up on short notice, then...
Yeah, but you fuck up on short notice or you give up a title fight to someone like Dominic Cruz and then Cruz wins, they rematch. You have to take another fight and you have the possibility of losing.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, I figured he thought all that out. I mean,
I guess.
I mean, from what I read, I don't know. I don't want to shift over to Aljo, but from what I read, that's exactly what he was saying.
Yeah. I just don't. I understand. I can't bash anyone for not choosing not to fight right now because of the circumstances we're in. All I'm saying is that there's money being left on the table, unfortunately, for a lot of these guys that are choosing not to fight right now.
Well, they also qualify for that $600 a week. Unemployment as independent contractors. I know that may not be a lot, but a lot of these fighters don't make a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, sure. It's not like they're completely broke.
Well, you see.
Anyways, let's get back to Gaethje Ferguson.
Hold on. One quick thing I wanted to bring up before we get into that. Just a little bit on what we were just talking about with the fighters not training and stuff. Did you see that? Now I lost her name. She fights in the PFL.
Kayla Harrison.
Do you see? She said if they don't have any fights this year, that she will fight elsewhere for her because she's contracted two fights in 2020. And she said, unless they give her those two fights, she'll fight elsewhere. That's intense.
It is intense.
Is that legal? Because in the contract, they legally have to offer her two fights too, though.
Yeah, but there's usually some sort of backup this or pay her the money, the show
well,
money.
Well, I doubt they're going like, to pay her. That's what the UFC I doubt they have the do. Money to pay her right now if the PFL is not going to have a season at all this year.
Yeah, I don't know what their finances are like, but... they should have a decent amount of money because they pay a stipend, whatever to their fighters anyways. They're still getting paid right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they pay monthly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Monthly and then the $1 million payout at the end. That's why a lot of those dudes join it because that's a little bit more stable.
Stable, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it is that they pay. It probably varies from fighter to fighter, but you do get a monthly check like a job.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I just want to talk with her. Yeah. So, yeah, let's dive in, though. So... Ferguson and Gaethje, not the fight we were looking for in the beginning, but a hell of a fight nonetheless.
Yeah.
Who do you like?
I like Ferguson because I don't expect Gaethje to come out and use a wrestling-heavy plan, and I think Ferguson, he's a little too slick on the feet. He does leave himself open a little bit, and I think if Gaethje wins, it might be just because he gets knocked out, you know what I mean? But I don't see that really happening. I think Tony's a little too slick, and I think he's going to piece him up on the feet.
I agree with you that Tony's going to win.
Maybe sub him.
But I don't think he's better than Justin on the feet.
Justin has got more power, clearly. But Tony's really awkward and strange, and I think his mastery of his stand-up game is a little bit different than Gaethje's kind of wild game. Gaethje's not a super refined and technical puncher. He's okay, and he's got packs a lot of power.
I was gonna say
a lot of power.
He's not very technical, but neither is Tony.
Yeah, some technique. In the case, like, he's got some classic.
In
technique,
the case that it gets wild, Justin likes to get wild. He knows how to hit, how to throw when it gets wild. I mean, so does Tony, though.
I just think Tony's got more of a controlled chaos, is I guess the phrase I'm looking for. Tony gets wild, but it's still calculated. Where Justin kind of just gets wild. It's a hard idea I'm trying to express in my head.
But yeah, but here's the thing, though. I agree with you if this was Justin 2 years ago. But Justin, like when Justin first entered the UFC, I think I would agree with you. But as of right now, I feel like he's a little bit more calculated than he was at the beginning of his career. Like in, say, the Michael Johnson, Eddie Alvarez, Dustin Poirier fights. I feel like he's a much more calculated guy. And he actually, like, he takes a lot of chances, don't get me wrong. But, like the Edson Barboza fight's a perfect example. It's like, it was quick, but he did stand in there and was able to cut him off and not open himself up to the big shots from Barboza and was able to walk him down and hit him with the big shot that ultimately ended the fight. And in a situation like that, I feel like he'd have the advantage against Tony because... Like you said, Tony and him both get wild, and Tony's a little bit more, I guess, more, he's more creative, but I feel like Justin has a higher, like, landing rate. You know what I'm saying? Like Justin, everything he throws, like, I would say a good 67% of it lands. And he has power, but he also has volume. That's his difference, is like... That's why like this fight's interesting because like both these guys are known for, like it's the hardest fight of someone's career after they fight one of these guys.
Yeah, Tony's really been slicing a lot of people up lately.
Same thing with Justin though. Like fucking out. Justin's whole career has just been like wars. Whether he wins or loses, it's a fucking war.
He has looked more controlled, and I'm not knocking him. I just when I look at his losses, like to Poirier and to Alvarez, I realize that he's just has made some adjustments since then. But I don't think he's up with. I mean, he's good, but I find Tony to be just elite, like up there with Conor and Khabib. And I just don't see now. Justin can come out and prove me wrong.
See,
and
I think,
and if he does that, then
I think Dustin Poirier is better than Tony Ferguson.
See, I don't.
I don't think Tony. I don't think Tony's polished enough on the feet to stand with someone like Poirier or Connor.
Well, if he couldn't stand with them, he could easily utilize his. He's got some incredible jiu-jitsu.
He does, but I'm just saying, like, in a case of a war like this with Justin Gaethje, I feel like his biggest mistake would be to stand with him. I think what would be smart would be to take him down and try to sub him. This is not Tony Ferguson, but
I'm taking Tony by decision. What do you got, Justin? By
I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence. I'm on the fence because Tony's he's got solid durability as well. Like, we've seen him dropped and rocked, and he has this way of just kind of avoiding the finishing punches. You know what I mean? Like, but in the same way, so does Justin. Like, these two are very similar in, like, outcome of a lot of their fights. Like, they tend to start a little slow, but as they get going, they fucking get going, and they, like, tend to fucking... Like, if either of these guys gets in a rhythm in this fight, it could be dangerous, because, like, there could be a few quarts of blood on the fucking mat after this, if either of these guys gets in any kind of rhythm.
Yeah, because Tony, those pointy elbows of his, he cuts people up pretty easy.
Yeah, well, and knuckles. Here's the thing, too, that no one's talking about as well is Justin's leg kicks, I feel like, are going to come into effect here. I feel like he's going to use a heavy leg kick game, because I know it's been a while, but Tony still has that bum knee, and we've seen people in the past kick him in that knee and him, you know, just kind of not necessarily get like compromised by it, but just take it a little gingerly after a four or five leg kicks to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like Justin Gaethje, who's pretty well known for having a great leg kick game, I feel like he could do it. I think that would be his best idea, at least, to have success.
So Gaethje by decision for you, or you think he's gonna?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Gaethje.
He's pretty rare.
I'm gonna go Gaethje by TKO in round four.
TKO round four.
I think it's gonna be a knockdown, drag it out war, and it's gonna be getting to a situation where someone's gonna get stopped either by exhaustion or by a doctor. That's literally what that's what I see here.
I'm going to the decision, but I could see a doctor stoppage.
Yeah.
That's not a crazy thought.
Well, all right. So, a much, much, much better co-main event than was expected before. We've got Triple C, Henry Cejudo, fighting Little C. No, I'm just kidding. AKA Little C. What was before going to be Henry Cejudo versus Jose Aldo
for the bantamweight
title was scrapped due to same situation as Khabib had travel restrictions in from Brazil, and so now we get honestly a better matchup.
Yeah, thank God, because I hated that Aldo fight. That fight was bullshit.
Yeah, it just made no sense. It
was ridiculous.
This is a real legacy fight. So
this fight is much better.
It's Dominic Cruz versus Henry Cejudo. For the bantamweight title,
about 4 years now.
Yep.
However,
4 years, but we haven't seen him. But we've seen him. He's everywhere, like in the media space.
Look, if anybody can come back from these injuries and these layoffs like this, it's Dominic Cruz. He's already proven that in the past. There's really not a question about it. People say, "Is it going to be ring rust?" Well, he's proven in the past not to have it. So we don't have to guess there either.
Similar amount of like layout time too.
Now that doesn't guarantee it, but I would say it definitely leans in his favor to not have.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know the odds.
And honestly, one thing no one's talking about, but also Henry Cejudo is coming off a pretty literally the same significant injury that Dom had.
Yeah, he's coming back from a layoff and an injury. We haven't seen him since what, Dillashaw?
No, since.
Marias.
Marias, yeah. So a year. It's been a year. Around, yeah, because, yeah, it was like March of last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we get this fight much, much, much better fight. Like, night and day.
I'm a big fan of this fight. I really like Dominic Cruz. You know, I'm not...
I'm a big fan of both guys here. This whole card has a lot of fights where I'm a big fan of both people on both sides. Like, it's a fucking... There's no losers in this on... Next Saturday, like, These fights are ridiculous.
This is better for Cejudo, too. Look, I'm not a fan of him personally. I think he's a great fighter. But this is a much better fight like for legacy. Him, too. For yeah. his, because he talks about his legacy and, oh, he wants to beat legends and stuff. Well, Aldo's not a legend at 135.
Yeah.
He's unproven.
Dom is the fucking, in my opinion, the GOAT at 135.
Yeah. And yes, he's coming back after 4 years out of the cage, et cetera, whatever, whatever. But for the aforementioned reasons I just stated, Cejudo will still get a lot of credit with a win here. And Dominic with a win.
Just fucking cemented.
Dude. Cemented. Amazing story. Cemented right there.
Yeah. Like people, which would also, what nobody's talking about, set up the perfect rematch in January of 2021. Fucking Dominic Cruz versus TJ Dillashaw.
It would. You know, people might look at the last fight of Dominic Cruz and be like, oh, well, he lost to Cody, and then look, Cody turned out to be not that great. But nobody, because Dom doesn't really bring it up because he's not an excuse maker. In that Cody Garbrandt fight, Dominic Cruz had plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
That's why he was moving funny. That's why he was off. And people are like, why didn't he look right? Well, because he was injured. Yeah. Like, his feet were jacked up. And if you're not aware what that is, that's a serious foot condition.
Just look at it. His fucking feet were taped together.
Yeah, like, he couldn't, that's why he wasn't moving. He didn't fight like he normally fights, all that stuff. And he never threw that out there as some big excuse. But, dude, that's
legit. I wish they would do a presser for this.
Hell, a super legit injury, super legit reason for him to have lost that fight. Like, that's the same thing that took Peyton Manning out for those 8 weeks where we got Tim Tebow on the Broncos. Plantar fasciitis, man. Like, that'll jack you up.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's dealing, or if he is, he's certainly not putting it out there. But if he's healthy and his feet are good, and he,
yeah,
I mean, to me, that Garbrandt fight, in my eyes, does not really throw much shade on him because he lost it because he's had two losses
in his whole career,
right? And he was like, all jacked up in that one.
Let's just be real right now, though. He's got two losses in his whole fucking career. Like, what are we saying right now? Like, he's one of the best ever at the division, and he's only lost twice ever.
It's going to be such a good fight.
Like, this is, he's one of the best. And whether Henry, anybody likes it or not, Henry's one of the best as well. And this is going to be a good fucking fight.
Of course he is. Dude, I throw shade at Henry because of his personality and his shit. He's an excellent fighter, dude. There's no denying that.
Yeah.
And in case you hadn't heard, did you know he won a gold medal in the Olympics?
Did he?
Wow. I don't know.
He's actually the youngest Olympic champion ever, though. That is pretty cool.
Well, bow down.
In wrestling.
Anyways,
kills it.
Little jokes there.
Well, let's talk about that actually for a second though, because then before this fight was even announced, about a month and a half ago, before even the Aldo and Cejudo fight was fucking announced, Errol Hawani did an interview with Dominic Cruz about him coming back, and he said around this time is when he would come back, and they were talking about. He said, if you had any kind of message for Henry Cejudo, what would you say? And then Dominic just started to go over this whole story about how him and Henry Cejudo actually grew up together and have known each other since they were 11 years old and wrestled on the Arizona national team together every single year of high school, middle school, all the way through, and how Henry was always, like, put up on a pedestal and, like, always was training with the best coaches and always people there bringing in training partners for him and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else was kind of just seen as like other kids. And Henry was like,
he was a star.
He was a star. And obviously things end up where they may, and they're now both in the same place. And he's like, see, that's why that, and he went to go on to say, that's why he feels that if he were to beat Henry or to lose to Henry, it wouldn't matter to him. He already knows where his legacy is. Whereas if he were to beat Henry, it would humiliate him and destroy him because without his belt and his accolades, he doesn't have a life outside of this. And he said that him having the injuries he's had in his career has took away a lot of his career, but also gave him peace on what he's done in the sport. And he thinks that if he were to beat Henry Cejudo, that would just cement everything he ever worked for.
Ooh.
I was like, that's a fucking promo right there.
Yeah, and it is.
I don't know why the UFC is not fucking running that shit.
Wow.
Go back. It was like, I think I wanted to say it was February on Errol Hawani's show. Like, go back and watch that and just listen to how Dominic Cruz like just breaks it down and how it just seems like he's been waiting for an opportunity like this to arise. And I honestly, I'm picking against Henry today. Unfortunately, I think Cruz is going to beat him by decision. 3-2. I think Henry's going to come out like a fucking raging bull and attack Cruz, but I think Cruz is much more calculated in the way he fights, whereas Henry is much more of a... He's calculated, don't get me wrong, and he has, like, he usually sticks to the game plan, but if Henry sees any, like, site where he can just blitz you, he will. And I feel like Cruz will keep him at bay, and he'll never really get a chance to really blitz him. Kind of like how he did to Faber, because Faber fights the same way.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like, they either use their wrestling or on their feet, they blitz you. And I feel like Cruz has a good game plan. Like, as long as his offense is similar to what it was earlier in his career, where he has the ability to move his feet and kind of flow through, I feel like he'll have a good chance of nullifying Henry on the feet.
Got the garlic cookies in this PAX 3. Why don't you hit that up? That's pretty PAX tasty. PAX 3. I can't disagree with what you just said right there. I think Dominic Cruz, if he comes out and he's in his correct form, yeah, I'm picking Cruz decision as well. I think you're right. I really can't. I don't have much of a different perspective to add. That's exactly how I see it going down. I think Cruz is going to be one of the biggest comeback stories in sports once again. I don't know if he's going to defend or stick around, and I don't even really care. He's earned the right to bounce out or stick around if he wants to, in my mind.
I think if he sticks around, there's big money in a rematch with TJ Dillashaw.
Absolutely, who's coming off a suspension here in 2021. And
supposedly the UFC has promised him a title shot upon his return.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
So
I'm super excited for Cruz. I think if he's one guy with his analyst skills that he will benefit tremendously from that as a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been looking at Cejudo for a long time. I'm curious as to what kind of strategy he's going to employ.
Yeah, so. From what it seems like, they've been watching him for a while, you know, so we'll see how that goes.
You've been watching with a special eye with that kind of history. It's not just, you know, watching the champ.
Yeah.
So that's great. I think that's going to be an awesome fight. And if Cejudo wins, hey, man, it's great for his – he's got what he wanted.
Honestly, there's no – like I've said at the beginning of this, in this card – on either side, there's no losers. These are all going to be fucking barn burner fights.
Yeah, well, the number 3 spot from down there, we've got a pretty massive
humongous
heavyweight fight. Yeah. Couple big boys. Big boy Rosenstruck himself versus Francis Ngannou.
Savagery. This is going to be utter savagery.
Yeah, Rosenstruck is still fairly fresh in the UFC, but he's a longtime kickboxer. He's not a new fighter.
And he fucking hits hard.
Yeah, and he's coming off that big punch on Alistair Overeem in his last fight.
Yeah.
Where he split that lip like the Joker.
They have very similar, like, career trajectories so far. They have similar opponents. Like, Rosenstrike, I think, knocked out Andrei Arlovsky, too, right?
I do believe he did. Yeah.
Like, in a similar fashion to what Ngannou did. And now this fight, I feel like this is also Ngannou's chance to kind of show where he is in the queue. You know?
This is his opportunity to make a case for the next title shot if Cormier doesn't get it. Francis was calling for an interim title, which I admire the call here, but there's absolutely no need for an interim title right now. Good try, though.
Here's the deal, though.
Try.
Well, if Stipe says that he's not fighting for the rest of the year, then maybe there is.
He hasn't said that, though.
What we just talked about earlier, he said that he's not going to fight during this coronavirus. If this thing
ends up extending... We're in May. We're in December. I mean, that's a long time with this virus to try to predict out.
That's true.
And for those of you that are listening and may not know, Stipe Miocic, the heavyweight champ, is a firefighter in the real world.
Yeah.
So he's a little busy.
He's a little busy.
You know, he's not just hanging out at home. Watching TV like the rest of us. He's a little busy. Watching TV at the firehouse, but you know, those guys are out there doing shit. But anyway, Ngannou Rosenstruck, this is going to be...
This is just going to be a clash of...
Well, this is one of those fights that we're going to talk about it and then watch. It turns out to be Derek Lewis versus Ngannou.
Shut up. Don't even say that. Don't even put that out into the universe, sir.
Because this
Don't
is like,
say
oh, it's going to be such a barn burner. But Ngannou's come out and stunk up the place on barn burners before. So it wouldn't be unheard of.
Rosenstrike hasn't, though. Rosenstrike goes for blood, dog. He does.
He certainly has so far. Who are you liking this? I mean, it's going to be a KO.
I'm taking Ngannou. I think Ngannou's just a little bit more sharpened as a striker. I think Rosenstrike is very good, but I don't necessarily know if he is ready for the shot, whereas Ngannou's been chomping at the bit.
Ngannou's in hell of shape. He's been here in town in Vegas at the PI training, yeah. And he is ripped.
He's a savage.
Instagram this morning, yeah. Flexing, doing the back flex. He's got to look at some wings now, this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm taking like Ngannou.
I'm taking him KO round one.
KO round one, yeah. That's solid. And who can argue with
I'm
that?
I'm going KO round one on both sides. Another one that's a fucking could very well be the fight of the night. This next fight here, we got Jeremy Stephens versus Calvin Kattar.
Mm.
Both these guys are just fucking savages.
Yeah, that's a great fight.
Just savages. Like, I don't think people understand how many great fights Jeremy Stephens has been in. Like
hardcore fans do. Jeremy Stephens is always in a good fight. What is Jeremy Stephens' bad fight?
I'm saying, yeah, he doesn't have one. Maybe the Max Holloway one, but that wasn't even his fault. That was just.
Well, Jeremy's excellent.
It's fucking Calvin Kattar is.
He's no slouch. He's a great fighter too. But I gotta definitely
take Stephens.
I'm taking Kattar
by knockout.
You're taking Kattar with this. I'm going with Stephens. That's my boy. I can't pick against Jeremy Stephens.
Going Kattar knockout round two.
Round two. Wow. I'm going to go Stevens knockout round three.
Third, huh?
Yeah.
I just don't see it going that way because of the length that Kattar has. Like, Jeremy Stephens has all the same power, and they have very similar, like, striking style. But I feel like the length is where – the length and the crispness of Calvin Kattar's boxing is where I think the difference is going to be here. Plus, he's just a little bit more trending up, whereas Jeremy's kind of slowing down.
Jeremy's a little old in the fucking tooth, but I feel like he's got a good fight.
And Kattar's got something to prove, too. He's coming off that super close decision to Zabit. So, yeah, I like Kattar.
That was a close fight.
Like Kattar. So, let's move on down. Got your best friend in the whole wide world, Greg Hardy versus Jorgen De Castro.
I don't even know who that is, Jorgen De Castro. But I hope he whips up on Hardy, please.
I feel like he might
win
this. I
say this every time. I really hope. Please, please knock out Greg Hardy for us.
I don't think he will. All right, let's just move on from that one.
Yeah.
So, a really interesting rematch in the next fight. We got Anthony Pettis taking on Donald Cerrone for the second time. But this is much different circumstances
than
their first fight. I believe their first fight was for a title shot, I believe.
Yeah.
And we saw Pettis kind of just beat the dog shit out of him. So.
Yeah. This isn't going to happen this time.
You don't think so? No. This is Cerrone's chance to get back on the board?
Cerrone's come out and made some statements about how he felt he really didn't show up in the Conor fight. Not like Stephen A. Smith said, he's admitting, you know, clearly he's dissatisfied with that. He's already fought Pettis before. There's no nerves. It's moved on, and I think he really has something to prove. I think he's going to come out and have a great fight. I think he's going to get the win.
I want to agree with you. I really do, because I do
really
like
got
Donald.
To prove.
I really do, but so does Anthony, man.
Pettis is good, but
he's followed on tough times.
I feel his tough times were way worse than Cerrone's tough times, if you know what I mean.
Well,
like,
here's
Cerrone
the thing.
Doesn't
Cerrone's,
show up in big fights. Pettis has just been
Cerrone's
losing fights, man.
Career trajectory throughout the years is so up and down. Because, like, the first time they fought, the first time they fought, it was, like, Don Cerrone, everyone swore he was going to take the belt. It was his time.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Pettis beat the dog shit out of him. And then he falls into a slump, then wins, what, 9 in a row, gets back to the title shot, gets KO'd by RDA, goes to welterweight, wins.
Like
loses
four or
three
five
in a row,
then boom.
And then boom, back to lightweight, wins three in a row. Now he's lost three in a row again. So it's like, I don't even know.
He's primed for his upswing again.
This is a cornerstone for both them, though, because Pettis on the other side is very similar, because Pettis, he was champion, lost. Got another title shot, lost. Won a fight, lost. Won a fight, wins two, loses another one. It's mm-hmm. like literally both these guys, like since they fought the first time, I feel like their career trajectories have just been the same thing. It's just, oh, you almost got it. You know what I mean? It's like they've had big fights, but they've yet to capitalize on any of them. I guess Pettis on the
yeah, I mean Pettis Thompson was champ,
one, but still.
But like his fall was pretty.
His fall is ridiculous.
Cerrone is
at
been
one
the
point
same story.
Everyone thought he was the best fighter in MMA. He was on the Wheaties box. The fucking UFC was pushing him as the sell. Then he fucking goes out and loses his first fight in the UFC.
Brutal. Brutal career trajectory there. But it'd be a good fight. They both still got a lot in them. I think that's a great matchup at this time. I just think Cerrone is going to show up and get the win here.
I'm going to take Cerrone by decision.
Yeah, I'm looking at a decision too. Yep. Jim Cerrone's having another kid, and he's naming him Risk.
Yeah.
So he named his children Risk and Danger. That's awesome.
So, in the next fight.
Back to heavyweights again, right?
We got a couple of old guys in here.
Yeah.
We're Doom making his comeback after a year and a half suspension.
He was off some roids, wasn't he?
But he snitched, so he got a sentence.
Is that what he did?
I think so. And
snitch,
then we got a
golden snitch.
Alexei Oleinik, who is fucking the most game fighter in the UFC. He'll literally fight anybody, anytime, anywhere. So I always like watching him.
I like watching Oleinik, too.
He's a savage.
Haven't seen Werdum in a long time.
I'm curious to see what he looks like, because if he comes out and makes short work of Oleinik, it really like could just put him right back into the title picture.
Yeah.
Because in all reality, take the Alexander Volkov loss off his record, and he's in the title picture also. Like, he was primed to get to fight again for his title. He just had to get over the Volkov fight, and he gets KO'd.
I don't like Werdum. I don't know why. I hope he loses.
I think he's my wet heavyweight goat, honestly.
No, there's a strong argument for him to be that. I'm not. You can make that argument pretty strongly. I just, for some reason, I don't like him personally. I don't know why.
He's kind of a dickhead, but here's the hardcore facts of it.
But he's a good fighter.
I
expect him to win. I think he's going to win.
Hardcore facts of it is, he's the only mainstream heavyweight champion in MMA who has wins over Cain Velasquez and Fedor.
Yeah, no, he has a great resume. There's a lot of people sleep on him as the heavyweight GOAT, because I think there's strong arguments for a few guys, but he's definitely one you can be like, it's him.
And he's had, like, he's another one of those guys, though, too, that, like, he came into the UFC without, like, a lot of jiu-jitsu and just not very much striking. Came in, fell in some tough times and was able to actually take time and go back and completely change his game, come back to the UFC and took over the game. Like, when he came back to the UFC, he just ran through people. When his striking became actually
competitive,
it was over for everyone else. So I like him. I'd like to see him get right back on track and maybe even get back into the title picture. It's never too late.
No, I'm not a heavyweight. He always got a shot at heavyweight.
There's still big fights there, too.
I think he's going to win, too.
Yeah, there's still big fights at heavyweight for him.
Yeah, for sure. Can't hate on that. I think he's going to win pretty handily.
Yep.
And
then our next fight,
come back.
We got a couple ladies stepping in here. We got Carla Esparza taking on Michelle Watterson.
Former champ Esparza. Michelle Watterson. You know,
did they fight on the Ultimate Fighter?
No, Michelle Watterson wasn't on the Ultimate Fighter.
She wasn't?
No.
Oh, what? For some reason, I thought she was. Oh, no, it was Rose was on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as it was, okay. I mean, she won it.
Yeah.
But I always liked her. I watched that whole season. I used to watch those all the time.
Yeah, my brother went to college with her.
Yeah, it was a soft spot for Carla on the show. Like her to win here. Watterson's great too. It'd be a good fight. I like both these.
I like both of them, but I just think they're in two different places, and Watterson is in a different place, and I feel like she's primed to get right back on track with this fight. I think.
Think so?
Yeah.
It's possible.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Esparza is tough, and she's a game opponent. I'm just saying that I think Watterson had a real argument that she was one of the top two people in the division one fight ago. And with kind of Joanna getting beat by
Wally Zhang.
Wally, it kind of opens the door for other contenders. You know what I mean? Like, in all reality, this could be, you know, Michelle Waterson's chance to really put a, like, put a serious, like, stamp on her place in the division.
Title shot, yeah. You know, it is. It is. Win over a former champ is always good on the resume.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, I like Waterson by decision.
I like Esparza by decision, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that's more just the fan and me. Not that I have anything against Michelle Waterson. She's great, but
yeah.
Rooting for Carla.
Yep.
Oh, man, a lot of just fight after fight. There isn't really a shitty fight on there this card. I mean, next we got
Uriah Hall taking on Jacare Souza.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty far down on the card for Jacare.
Dude, it's on. It's the last fight before the Fight Pass prelims.
That's crazy. It's like opening
dude,
up.
Dude, the Fight Pass prelims are fucking ridiculous, too. But, yeah, so both guys here are kind of, they're kind of in the same place. Another one of those fights where both of them have kind of been niched into this part of the division where the guys, they beat a lot of the top guys, but then they also have a significant amount of losses against the real elite of the division.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, though. This is an interesting one to me.
Hall has all, he could beat him. He could. He could also show up and get his ass handed to him.
That's what I mean.
So
like,
all over the place. I mean,
yeah. One second he looks like one of the most elite strikers in the division. The next, he's getting knocked out by wrestlers.
Right. he's so unpredictable. But I think we're in for a good fight either way.
Yeah.
I would lean towards Jacare with the win here just because he's Jacare.
Yeah, I like Jacare here too.
But I mean, Hall,
I'm taking Jacare
really
by sub.
Oh, yeah. Round two. Well, I'm in agreement with that as well, my guy.
So now let's move to the Fight Pass prelims, which are headlined by Vicente Luque versus Nico Price,
which is just a fucking ridiculous fight
to be on a Fight Pass prelim.
Couple of savages there, man.
Dude, that's another fight of the night possibility there.
Yeah, that's great.
Anytime Luque or Nico Price steps into the freaking octagon, there is fight night bonus possibilities.
Yeah, we're gonna see a lot of fireworks, lots of stand up, probably some blood.
Well, thing,
no idea.
Thing I like about Price is
he's
always going for the throat. Like even if you take him down, even if you put him in a situation where it just seems like he should be in a defensive like. He should be real defensive minded. He switches and he gets real offensive and fucking dominates fools from weird positions.
He does. He does.
It's very strange.
And Luque is super tough. He can take a lot of punishment.
Oh, yeah. Luque is a savage.
While dishing out a lot as well.
Luque is a savage. Plus, he's got an elite submission game as well.
Who do you like? I don't even know who to pick in that.
I'm going
to
go with Luque just because I feel like he's just a little bit sharper. Just
What was Price's last fight? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I cannot.
I know remember. It was a good one. I remember that much.
I did not.
Well, I'm going to pick Luque too. It's a coin flip. I'm just expecting
a good fight. When it comes to that fight, I feel like it's just going to be one of those ones. It's just fucking violence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll be a great fight either way, no matter who wins.
Mm-hmm. And then, here we go.
What's next on there?
Your boy Bryce Mitchell. I don't really know who's the guy he's fighting, unfortunately, though. This is the only guy I don't know much about. I like Bryce Mitchell. I'd like to see him get the W here.
Who's he fighting? Is it Rosa?
Yeah.
I don't know much about him either. Oh, what's the last fight on the card then?
We got Ryan Spann versus Sam Alvey in Sam Alvey's retirement fight.
He has gone ahead and said he's retiring, huh?
He said he is, but he fucking says it all the time, so we'll see what happens.
There you go. What's that? Garlic.
He's literally said that like three or four times over the years.
I was going to say, I thought he had already retired, but yet here we are again. Smiling Sam Alvey, man. Yeah. That guy packs a good punch. He's a fun dude. Seems to enjoy fighting. Hope he goes out on a win if he's really going to retire. But that's a fun brawl. Smiling Sam. That's a good card, man.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something real quick, though. Let's kind of wrap the show with this one.
Yeah, because that's the whole card, basically, top to bottom right there.
Yeah, that's...
Which is a great... I mean, look, if the UFC's going to come back and do it, that's how to do it. We got two championship fights. We got a big heavyweight showdown.
Implications throughout the card.
All the way down. The only fight on the card I don't like is the Greg Hardy fight, and that's because I don't like Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
So hopefully that dude knocks him out, and it'll be my favorite Greg Hardy fight that ever happened, right? Yeah, we got all the way down, and we've got, you know, we'll talk about the other two events on the show next week.
Yeah.
Because we will have one show. Get right back into the swing of things. But there is, what else did you want to talk about there?
One thing I want to talk about is, so as of now, we know that we got this fight here at Jacksonville, Florida. But something that happened while we were taking our time off is this whole Fight Island thing.
Like, Fight Island. Yeah. Dana White's Fantasy Island-esque.
Yeah, fucking Mortal Kombat Arena over in who knows where. And supposedly, it's still a thing. And he says that there's possibilities of doing fights there in June with fighters and from international countries. And it's a... I don't know. What do you think of it?
Two things. I think the idea itself is fun and cool. I mean, we've all seen, like, Enter the Dragon,
Mortal Kombat,
Bloodsport to a certain extent, although it wasn't on an island. We all think of that shit. You know, we've seen Bodog do something similar back in the day. It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Do I think it's really going to happen?
Probably.
No.
Yeah,
probably. No. But I don't think Dana wants to come out and say it's not going to happen. Well, they need something for these fighters that can't get travel visas, but I don't think that's...
I think it was a propaganda tip is what it was. I think it was
I
think it was the UFC realizing the contract they have with Disney and looking at it as, hey, guys, we're doing everything we can to make your nut, so don't worry. Like, if all these other places are closing, we know you're not making much money, but we're going to keep our end of the deal because we're the UFC and we don't give a shit. Like, that's kind of what Dana's whole, like, that's kind of how Dana has approached this whole coronavirus thing.
Well, here's my solid reason for why I think that. It's not just like the parent company of the UFC is Endeavor. They're in all kinds of financial trouble right now. They tried to go public back at the end of last year, and then that they had to bail on it right like the night before they were scheduled to go public with stock. They had to bail on it. That got their investors really upset with them. So right before this virus started hitting big at the end of January, they paid out a $300 million investment or payout to everybody that invested in the UFC, right? Because remember all those like Mark Wahlberg and all these people bought in. Yeah, well, they paid out all that money. So they expelled a whole lot of cash. And then this virus hits. They've already had to lay off 250 employees at Endeavor. Yeah. And Fight Island is an expense.
Yeah,
it's an expense that's not completely necessary when you can just do shows here in the U.S. now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to tell me they're going to go buy it? Because it's not just put an octagon in an island. You got to have medical personnel there. You got to have a hotel. You have to have some kind of hospital, housing, food, choppers going to other places. And you have to have a competent medical team because this is MMA.
Yeah.
Like, so that's a huge expense.
Yeah,
and if it were different circumstances, maybe. But right now, while they're hemorrhaging cash and need the UFC to really put together the big money, nah, that's a dream. It's cool. It keeps people interested in the UFC. Nope. Dana can go out and be like Fight Island, and everybody goes, "Oh my god!"
You know, exactly kind of how I view it. As well. Yeah. So we're on the same page then, because I honestly don't. I was thinking that the whole time I had all these people hit me up. Damn, dude, I can't wait for the freaking UFC to do that island thing. I'm like,
right.
Dude, that thing is not gonna fucking happen. Like, you're fucking crazy if you think they're gonna fly people to a random island. Don't tell them where they're going and just fucking tell them, "Hey guys, all right, now hop in your shorts, let's go fight." Right. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, It's just not realistic. It's a great pipe dream. It is what it is, and
right. It gets I feel like people talking
now that we're back into a place, whether you agree with it or not, where sports are being resumed in some capacity, whether it be training camp, the NBA is beginning to opening their practice facilities. Like, whether people agree with it or not, the whole sporting world is kind of starting to hit the reset button with this whole coalition they put together with all the league owners and GMs and a lot of the people in the higher up front office positions. And I feel like probably August is going to be the craziest sports month we've ever seen in the history of sports. We possibly could have the NBA finals, the NHL finals, the start of baseball, and
shit. The UFC.
And the UFC. Like, there's just countless events that still are so-called postponed. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's been so many crazy scenarios that have been thrown out there. Like, supposedly in Vegas, they want to do the NBA playoffs and finals where they'll have the players stay at the Park MGM, and then they only go to the park. Their food will be brought to them. Everything will be brought to them. And then they'll just go between the Park MGM to play the games in their rooms, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then, like, I guess that's a good idea, but fuck, man. You're fucking locking a bunch of people away from their families in a fucking suite for 3 months. If you're LeBron James, you're about to be in that bitch for a minute. It just, I don't know. Cancellation is obviously something nobody wants, but, and not saying we should cancel things. I'm just saying, like,
yeah, that's not a debate. It's still a possibility. It's still a possibility, but
unfortunately,
at the very least, we're getting a lot of fights here. We're getting 3 cards for sure.
Yeah, 3 cards for sure. We'll see where it goes from here.
You know, one thing that definitely will happen is some point during these 3 cards, they're going to announce more.
Well, yeah, for sure.
You know, well, so here's the thing too. We'll discuss that on the next show. Here's the
thing is they've also come out this week and talked about they want Tyron Woodley to headline the card on May 28th.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Against Gilbert Burns or someone else. And then they also said they want Jorge Masvidal to headline the card on the first week of June.
Yeah, he's out of the Usman fight. That's done now.
It is? Done?
Done. Dana said
so who do you think they're going to go on with?
It's, ironically, I think what happened with that is exactly what Colby said would happen. He said
paid himself out.
He's going to price himself out of it, and he did. I think they might be going with him versus Colby, honestly.
I think they might be going Conor versus fucking George, though, because
that'd be pretty sick. They need to make
money.
That.
They need to make money, and then all of a sudden Dana says we got a really big plan for George Masvidal in the first week of June.
That would be something if that happened. I'd be behind that.
Yeah.
More than the Colby fight.
Oh, you think they're gonna do Masvidal and Colby?
Yeah, Masvidal.
So you're talking about Usman. Well, who you think Usman's gonna fight? No, I'm thinking
they're Masvidal and Colby.
Leon Scott.
I have no idea.
I
don't think he's in a big rush to fight, honestly.
I think he could fight the winner of Woodley and fucking Burns.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or maybe Edwards. We'll see what happens. I just have a hard time booking a Leon Edwards versus Kamaru Usman rematch when the first one was just so one-sided. I just don't see where he's made the vast improvements and where Usman
can Edwards even
declined.
Get out of the UK?
Huh? Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Good point.
And if he can get out of the UK, he might not even be allowed in here, so that might just not even be on the table till
good point.
End of the year.
Fight Island, though.
Anyway. Fight Island, bro.
Good point. That locks a few guys up, though, because like Darren Till's in a similar situation.
I don't know what Ireland is doing.
They're locked down.
I mean, I know they're locked down, but I don't know if they would allow Connor around.
Connor has the ability of private transportation.
They're a little bit different being an island of 13 million people, and Connor has his own private shit.
Yeah.
Like, they might let him out of there, where Russia's kind of landlocked, you know.
Yeah.
Some of these other countries.
Yep.
I don't know. Who knows? But we'll find out, I think, over these next series of events. We're going to get some big announcements, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's the show today. Good to be back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for rocking with this.
Absolutely. If you're new to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Anywhere else you get your podcast from, Google Play, find video on YouTube. We do air on WBUZ 95 on radio.net and the Orange Radio app Thursdays, 6 p.m. The radio station is currently down due to the coronavirus. However, folks, we will be back up and running on there shortly. We just spoke to the station manager earlier in the week, and they are working hard to get everything rolling down there again. So for now, though, wherever you get your podcast from, video on YouTube, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Where can they find the info at, Paul?
Head over to swatma.com, click the gear button, order a shirt, support the podcast. Stay safe, people. Stay home.
See you, everybody. Peace.
Peace.